The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. Glad to see every one of you. Glad you are here. We invite everyone to sign the friendship register, the booklet you should find the inside aisle of your pew, and pass it down. Make sure everyone gets a chance to sign it. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad you're with us. And I want to let you know that the ushers found a watch in the parking lot. I don't know if you can see. Does that look like yours? Okay. I'm going to start with the auction then. Give me 10, 10, 15, 15. No, no. But is anybody missing their watch? Yes. Okay. We can't catch? All right. I think we must have found the owner. All right. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin today. First, the inserts. Our next gym night is April the 4th. We have a great menu and price, so please sign up for that. And remember the Easter lilies. The deadline is next Sunday, so if you haven't done that yet and would like to do that, go ahead and take care of that today or next Sunday. Look at the other announcements. Notice that on April 15th, we have a mission Sunday coming up. We're going to be on a mission that day. During worship, we're going to collect items for blessing bags. So you see the list in your bulletin. We're inviting you to bring multiple things that are listed there. They're all fairly inexpensive. And so we're going to invite you to bring as many of those as you can. And then we're going to pack bags during worship on April 15th. And then at 3 o'clock that afternoon, we're going to gather in the fellowship hall for a Rise Against Hunger event where we are going to pack 10,000 meals in 90 minutes. It's a lot of fun. If you've done it before, you know. If you haven't done it, you're thinking, 10,000 meals in 90 minutes, that's not possible. Well, yes, it is. Come and see. We'd love to have your help that day. Notice also the special worship services coming up with Palm Sunday next Sunday, and then our Monday-Thursday worship, and then Easter Sunday. So mark your calendars for those, and invite someone to come with you. It's a special time of year that sometimes people are looking for places to go to worship, so invite someone to come with you at those special times. Notice on the back of the bulletin the information about our Lenten Mission Project. We are continuing to collect money for make your check payable to Graham Presbyterian Women. It will go to Global Outreach Mission with Keith and Karen Dodson. We'll hear a little bit more about them in a few moments. And then our backpack food program. And let me mention that last night we had a great benefit meal and concert. Had a wonderful time. And I just want to say a special word of thanks to the Brotherhood class for funding that. It couldn't have happened without them. So thank you so much for that. But we're continuing to collect for the Lenten Mission Project through the season of Lent. Speaking of being on a mission and reaching out to others, this past week I got the crop walk results. Now, crop walk, you know, happens in the fall, and then it takes a little while to collect all the money and the information. That's why it takes a while for that information to come to us. But just got it this past week. And the 2017 Alamance County Crop Walk in 2016 raised $38,000, okay, in 16. Then in 17, this past year, they went from $38,000 to $45,000. So a significant increase. And you were a part of that, so much so that we received a certificate that I'll be placing on the bulletin board in the hallway, presented to Graham Presbyterian Church. We placed fifth in all of the organizations in Alamance County. We placed fifth, so that is a great honor, and thank you for your participation in that. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. Would invite you to continue to be in prayer for Aaron Day's family in the passing of his sister. Went to that service this past week and just continue to be in prayer for them in this time of loss. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you would like to mention this morning? Let me invite you then to look at the call to worship in your bulletin and invite you to stand as you're able as we join our voices together. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn, and he will heal us. He has struck down, and he will bind us up. I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud, says the Lord, and your sins like a mist. Let us return to the Lord and offer God our worship from our hearts. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of this day, a day to praise you, a day to worship you, a day to enjoy being together with our sisters and brothers in Christ, a day to intercede on behalf of those in need, a day to reach out and share the good news of the gospel. A day to show the light of Jesus Christ shining in us. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this day. May we use it to bring glory to your name through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let me invite you now to join your voices and your hearts together in prayer as we pray together the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all mercy and hope, we come before you today to admit that we have failed you and ourselves. We have not loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have put our desires and our pleasures first, thinking that will make us happy. But instead, we have been miserable because we have turned away from you. Forgive us in your mercy and cleanse us by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus our Savior. Amen. You probably know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But do you know the next verse? John 3:17, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, but to save us. Christian friends, whoever believes in the Son of God is not condemned. Know for sure that God does not condemn you, and your record before him is clear through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now to join me for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone close by and let them know you're glad to see them today. Today is your birthday. Happy birthday, Ava. You look just as good there as anywhere else. I'll give you a microphone. Y'all can switch off or use it, however. Yeah. You'll have to, why don't y'all get on this side? Because the cord's not that long, and you got to get it pretty close to yourself. All right, good morning. Glad to see all of you today. I just told everybody that part of our mission project during Lent is that we are supporting something called Global Outreach Mission. And there are two people that we are so blessed, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, we are so blessed to have Keith and Karen Dodson, not only what they do during the week, but then to be part of our fellowship here. But I didn't know if you knew them. So these are two of my friends. Do you have friends that you'd like to introduce your other friends to? Well, you're my friends, and these are my friends. This is Keith, and this is Karen. And they're going to tell us a little bit about what they do when they're not here. Okay? We see what they do here, but what do they do when they're not here? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you do, where it is, and what you do when you're there?
Okay. Our office is just right around the corner over here on Hardin and Main Street. And what we do is we work with missionaries and help them go all over the world.
Okay, and Karen, what part do you play in that?
Well, sometimes when our missionaries are far, far away, you know how when you have trouble at school or something, who do you go home and maybe you talk to your mom and dad or a friend or maybe the pastor? Well, sometimes our missionaries are far, far away and there's no one there for them to talk to. And sometimes when there's hard things, I get to talk to them by the phone or sometimes we get on the computer and I talk to them all the way from all around the world and help them to just pray and think through what God's having them do and the problems that are coming up and how they can deal with those problems.
Keith, why don't you tell us, if you can remember, in the past month or so, what are some countries that you have been to? He hasn't left Graham necessarily, but he's looked on the computer and talked to missionaries who are in other countries of the world. What are some of those countries where you have missionaries that you've talked to recently?
That could be Uganda, Tanzania.
Wait a minute. Where's Uganda?
Africa.
Okay, Africa. Okay.
Okay.
Tanzania, where's that?
That's also in Africa.
Okay.
I've talked to people in Canada, talked to people in Central America, and yeah, we've been around.
Okay, that's some of the places. I think it's kind of neat. His office is just, we could walk to it from here. It's not very far at all. And yet he's sitting there helping missionaries, people who are trying to help other people understand how they need to believe in Jesus. He's helping them, and they're in all kinds of places all over the world. Do you have any questions you want to ask them? Ava? Birthday girl, Ava? I had to slip that in.
The question is, have we ever been to China? We have not been to China.
But have you talked to anybody in China? I don't. Well, it's close.
Asia. Yeah, we work with people in Asia, but not specifically in China.
Okay. China, Japan, you know, those, some of those places. Yeah. You have any other questions? Does anybody else have any questions? Here's your chance. I want you to know where your money's going when you give it. And it's going, my opinion, going to a great cause because they are helping. And you're reading about each Sunday on the back of the bulletin specific people that they are helping go to specific places. And as I put that together to go in the bulletin, so I was reading it, and you read some of those things, these people are really appreciative of Keith and Karen and what they do to help. And so I'm thankful so much to both of y'all. And like I said, so thankful that you're part of our church family here.
And we're blessed to be a part of this church family.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Well, let's have a prayer together. Why don't we pray for Keith and Karen today? Okay? So you make your praying hands, and I'll pray, and you listen. Dear God, thank you so much for Karen and Keith. For how much they love you and how much they want other people to love you and help people in places far, far away that we will never go. But yet they're going there through the computer and the telephone to help other people. Lord, give them the strength that they need because their work is hard sometimes. So give them all the strength that they need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks so much. Y'all were good listeners. Now you can head out to Children's Church. Thank you. The preacher on TV says that if I do what God wants me to do, which usually involves sending some money to that preacher, I will be blessed beyond my wildest dreams. He even has words of Jesus to back it up. Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap." Now, don't you want those kinds of blessings just poured out upon you? Doesn't that sound great? But then I get back to my everyday life, and somehow it doesn't always seem so blessed. Somehow the blessings of God don't always seem so abundant. I don't get the grades that I want in school. I don't make the team that I want or get into the college that I want. I don't get the date that I want. I don't get the job that I want. I get married, but somehow my spouse is different now than before I got married. I have kids, but not the kids I wanted. And when it comes to health and wealth issues, well, sometimes we just struggle, don't we? God, where are all those blessings you promised? Have you ever felt that way? I know I have. And at this point, I want to get a little personal. Part of the reason that I have included in the great prayers of the Bible during the season of Lent, we're looking at great prayers of the Bible, and I'm including one today by Paul that's different from all the others. Part of the reason for that is that my life has not always been one of great blessing. One of the biggest challenges in my life, quite honestly, is in my prayers. Joy and I have been praying for our daughter Lauren that she would not have seizures or not have as many. We've been praying that prayer for 17 years, and it hasn't been answered the way we want it to be answered. And it's still a struggle for me. After a while you get somewhat used to it, but not completely. In fact, it was just a few Sundays ago that our daughter Lauren lives in a group home and got a call that she had possibly had a seizure. And then it was a Sunday morning, that she was supposed to come to church, and I was looking forward to seeing her here at church, and she wasn't going to be able to come. And then I got a call about 9:30, right before Sunday school time, that they had to call the EMTs, and the EMTs were there at the house, and she might have to be taken to the hospital. And that's all I knew. And then I had to go right from that call to teach Sunday school and then come in here and lead worship and preach. And I tried to do all of that as if it were just any other Sunday. But quite honestly, you know, that last word that I heard, that was what was on my heart and weighing on my heart. And I didn't know if she, when I'm standing here, I didn't know if she was in the hospital. And that's hard. It's hard to continue on when you're weighted down with those kind of cares. Now, that's just my story. You've got your story. Different from mine, but still just as real. Times when you have prayed for things and it didn't turn out the way you wanted. Well, that's why I have included this prayer as one of the great prayers of the Bible. We've looked at prayers by King David, Daniel the prophet, Jesus the Messiah, all what I would call spiritually successful men of great faith. But today we come to another man of great faith, a man who is surpassed in the New Testament only by Jesus himself, the great apostle Paul, the man who wrote more books of the New Testament than anyone else, the man who was responsible for spreading the gospel very quickly throughout most of the known world of his day, and the man who wanted to take the gospel even further. But hear his story about his own prayers, and you will find out that he might sound more like you than you thought. Maybe sound more like you than some great giant of the faith. So look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where you'll hear his story, beginning with verse 1. I must go on boasting. Now, he says he's boasting of the things that show his weakness. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ. It was customary to speak of such experiences in the third person, so he's talking about it like he's talking about somebody else, but he's talking about himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Now, what's the third heaven? Well, if you think in terms of that day, the way they thought, the kind of the first heaven would be where you see the sky and the birds, and the second heaven would be the next level where you'd see the planets and the stars, and then the third heaven would be above that, where God dwells. So, caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about someone like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I'd be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think of me, more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Listen to this last statement. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, I know you're ready to hear a sermon and that you're watching the clock. You want to get out of here on time and all that. But if you'll just give me a few moments, I need to make an important phone call right now, okay? Just a moment. It's an associate pastor friend of mine, and she's in church somewhere. So let's see if she can talk. Oh, hello? Oh, hi, Nancy. Yeah, this is Steve. How are you doing? You don't have much time to talk right now, but you're the associate pastor, so you're listening to the pastor's sermon right now, aren't you? Okay, so you got a little while. Okay. Well, I'm the one preaching at my church, so I can talk openly. Anybody here? Oh, yeah, just a few friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what I was calling you about was I wanted to get the name and the email address of that special speaker that you had at your church last month. Okay, his name is Paul. Okay, Paul who? Oh, he just goes by Paul. Okay. What's his email address? He doesn't have one? Phone number? No phone number. Well, how do I get in touch with him then? I write him a letter and then wait until he writes me back. Or I wait until he just is passing through town. He must not have to worry about many bookings since it's so hard to get in touch with him, but okay, that's the way it works. I would just love to have him come to Graham. I know if I could get him here, this place would be packed out. There would be no seats available. I've heard through the grapevine that he has a great story to tell. He's been everywhere and preached in some pretty exotic places and has some great escape stories to tell. But I really wanted to tell that story about how one day he was just minding his own business, and then out of the blue, he found himself in heaven before God. Now, that's a story that no TV evangelist can match. What? You had him at your church for a whole week, morning and night, and he didn't even tell that story? Why? I mean, it's a great story. Everybody'd love to hear that. He wouldn't even tell you the story? Not even when you took him out to lunch after church on Sunday? Well, what's up with that guy? I say, if God gives you something special, you need to talk about it. After all, we can get anybody in here to preach, but if we pay the big bucks to get the best speakers, we want to hear the best stories, right? What did he talk about? Okay, he had a theme. What was his theme? Boasting about my weaknesses. Well, sure, we've all got weaknesses. I've got more than he has, I'm sure, but I'm really having second thoughts about having this guy come. But thanks for kind of giving me the heads up. So is your pastor through with his sermon yet? Tell him not to look at you like that just because you're on your cell phone during church. Okay, I'll let you go. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Okay, that was just a make-believe conversation, but you get the point. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about himself more than in any of his other letters, and he finds himself on the defense because there are these boasting super apostles that he's defending himself against. It sounds as if Paul is being forced to speak vaguely about something he'd rather leave unsaid, but he does so in self-defense. He talks about being caught up suddenly into paradise, the very presence of God. Yes, we'd like to know more details about that. We'd like to hear the specifics of what was it like? What did it look like? What was it like there? But Paul says he can't tell us because literally no human being is permitted by God to speak about the inexpressible words he heard there, he says. So instead of boasting in visions and revelations like his opponents, in contrast, he's going to boast about his weaknesses. And he mentions one in particular, a thorn in his flesh. Now, the word he uses for thorn there is a word that means something pointed, like the pointed end of a fish hook. In other words, something that creates problems and aggravations. Now, there are several questions that we want to ask about that. You see three questions in your bulletin. First, what is it, this thorn in the flesh? And you know the answer? What is it? We don't know. You know why we don't know? Because he didn't tell us. But that doesn't stop us from guessing, right? So people through the centuries have guessed. All kinds of commentators and scholars have guessed. Maybe it was something physical, like epilepsy, or a speech impediment, or malaria, or eyesight difficulties, or attacks of migraines. Or maybe it was something emotional, like periodic times of depression in his life. Or maybe it was something outside of Paul, like persecution or troublesome people or fleshly temptations. By the way, those who believe that it was poor eyesight have some foundation for that. For in Galatians chapter 4, verse 15, he wrote, "You would have torn out your eyes and given them to me," kind of implying that he needed help with his eyes. And then in Galatians 6:11, at the end of the letter, he wrote, "See what large letters I use as I write with my own hand." Somebody has poor eyesight, they might, you know, write in large letters. But the bottom line is, we don't know for sure. Maybe it's intentionally left vague so that the specific nature of the problem, you know how it is, if I tell my story about my problem, you only identify with it if you've had the same problem. But if we leave it kind of vague, maybe you all can kind of fill in the blanks. A thorn in the flesh, something pointed that really bothers you. Second question, did it come from God or Satan? Well, in verse 7, he says, "It was given to me." That's a divine passive, implying that it was given to him by God to keep him from being too exalted with pride. But he also calls it a messenger of Satan to beat or torment him. It's as if Satan tried to use this thorn to beat Paul down, to defeat him, and to keep the message of the gospel of Christ from going forward. But God also used it to humble Paul and to make Paul more aware of his weakness before the Lord. Third question, most important one, how do you get rid of it? That's the really important question. Well, unfortunately, Paul doesn't help us with this one. He says he prayed three times. Now, you know who we're talking about here? The Apostle Paul. I mean, the greatest leader of the church in his day. And he prayed one time, two times, three times that this would go away. If anybody ought to get their prayers answered, it would be the Apostle Paul. But what answer did he get? In essence, the answer he got was no. But that wasn't all of the answer. God also said, "My grace and my strength are all you need. My power works better when you are aware of how weak you really are." Now, we know that in our heads, don't we? But we don't like it. We don't want it to be that way. We don't want to be reminded of our weaknesses. But God says, "That's the way my power works best." Sometimes you hear that if you're a really good Christian, then God's going to bless you richly and you're going to be happy and successful everywhere you go all your life. But Paul's example shows us that as good as that sounds, it's not true. In fact, notice that he mentions that this wonderful experience he had was 14 years earlier. So if 2 Corinthians is dated around the middle 50s, say 54 to 56 A.D., then 14 years earlier would have been 7 years after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and almost 10 years before he wrote his first New Testament letter. In other words, my point is that he had 14 years to grow and mature and come to this conclusion. So, if you're really struggling today, give yourself a little time. Be patient with yourself. Give God time to work in your life to bring you to the place where maybe you can understand God's power at work in your weakness. Now, you understand kind of the main point of Paul's story here. Now I want to apply it and illustrate it with some different stories, just different people's stories that will help drive some of these points home. First story is about Alyssa Morgan. You might not have heard of her, but she is the founder of the largest Christian mothers ministry in the world. It's called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. A lot of churches have those groups that meet in their church. Well, she said, I'm probably the least likely person to head an organization about mothering because I grew up in a broken home. My parents were divorced when I was 5. My siblings and I were raised by an alcoholic mother. I had to be a mother to her. I had to wake her up every morning to try to get her off to work. Then I was asked to head up this organization. And I thought, I'm just not the right one. You need to ask somebody else. But it got started. It started small with just 8 women meeting together in a small group. That's all it was, just 8 women. She said, I didn't know what to do, but I went straight to my knees and I asked God, God, how can you use me? God seemed to take all my deficits and make them into strengths that he could use. As he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So he took a woman who grew up with a mother who was present but mostly absent, and she ended up being the one to lead an organization to help mothers literally around the world. God's power is proven through our weakness. Then there's another story. This is about H.B. Charles Jr. You might not have heard of him. He's pastor of Shiloh Metropolitan Church in Jacksonville, Florida. He's one of the preachers that I enjoy listening to the most. He happens to be African-American, and I've heard him preach in person and love to hear him. He tells the story of after pastoring for some years, he said, I was ready to quit. At that time, he was serving a church that his father had pastored until he retired. So you get the story. His father was a well-loved pastor for a number of years in that church, and then he retired, and then little H.B. Jr., the son, started pastoring that church. He said, now, after my father had retired and I had become the pastor, now I was getting all the whippings that the people couldn't give him. He said, and I was ready to quit. So I wanted to talk it out, and the way anytime I have a really important decision to make in my life, I go talk it out with a person that I trust the most, he said, and that was my father. So I went to my father, and I gave him my speech. He gently told me that he understood what I was going through, and then he said, you just want to stand up on Sunday and preach in peace and have no conflict in the church, right? He said, well, if you want to preach in peace wherever you go, don't mention the name of Jesus. Don't let the choir sing about him. Don't do anything in Jesus' name, because if you lift up the name of Jesus, Satan is going to come looking for you. Then he said, son, let me tell you, you need to just be still and let the Reverend Thorne minister to you. H.B. said, I've known a lot of ministers in my time, but I don't remember the Reverend Thorne. So His father opened up his Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and read the scriptures that I just read to you. He said, "Son, your problem is that you want to minister to others, but you won't let Reverend Thorne minister to you. Sometimes God is just going to make you sit down right where you are and let Reverend Thorne minister to you, and you won't be able to move until you let Reverend Thorne minister to you." You get the point? That thorn, that whatever it is in your life that is causing you the greatest anxiety and problems, that can be God's way of ministering to you, reminding you the very things that you need to remember the most, that you are weak and that God is strong. Once again, that's not the way I want to learn that lesson. I want to learn it a different way. I want to learn it when I can enjoy life, when I cannot have any pointed thorns sticking in me. God says, "No, it's not the way it is. But my grace is sufficient for you. I will give you strength in your weakness." Another story. This is a story of Ruth Duck. Now, these are people you've probably never heard of. That's why I wanted to bring them to you. I don't know her, but Ruth Duck writes out of her own experience of debilitating migraine headaches. And when I read about that, of course, I've known people who have had those, but I relate to it personally because I saw my father suffer from migraine headaches over and over again for many years, and I saw what great suffering that was for him and how totally debilitating it was for him. Well, she wrote a poem about that, and that poem actually made it into the newest Presbyterian hymnal called Glory to God. She writes for other people whose lives involve constant pain, often without hope of lasting relief. Here's what the poem says that she wrote. "When we must bear persistent pain and suffer with no cure in sight, come, Holy Presence, breathe your peace with gifts of warmth and healing light. Support us as we learn new ways to care for bodies newly frail. Help us endure and live and love. Hear our complaint when patience fails. We thank you for the better days when we may smile to greet the sun, to do your work with clearing mind and bless your name when day is done. In ease or pain, in life and death, to you our fragile lives belong. And so we trust you in all things. You are our hope, our health, our song." You get the point? Even when your physical body may have no hope, God is your hope. Even when you do not have health, God is your health. When you do not have hope, God is your hope. And then I'll close with one more story. This involves a song. A number of years ago, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song. That's one of my favorites. It's called "His Strength is Perfect." It's kind of based on, some of it's based on what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about how our weakness is so evident and we need to remember how weak we are, but how God's strength is perfect when we are the weakest. Now, he wrote this song a long time ago, a number of years ago, not knowing what was going to happen in his life, but it was a number of years after this. He and his wife had a number of children and even adopted a couple of children from China, I believe. And then one day, his oldest son, who was old enough to drive, was backing out of their driveway and did not realize that his sister was in that driveway and ran over her, and she died. How do you recover from something like that? I mean, it didn't happen to me, but it makes me want to cry just thinking about it. I mean, such great sorrow and pain. But Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife and his family have proven since then that God's strength has been perfect to them, even in their time of greatest pain and weakness. So the song goes like this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Let me invite you now to join together in prayer. You look in your bulletin. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer like we always do, but we're going to pray it a little differently today. You see the parts of the prayer printed in bold? That's your part. So we'll say that together, the parts of the prayer, and then I will read the parts that explain each of the phrases, okay? So let's join together in prayer. Our Father. We pray our Father because we have been adopted into the family of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's not my Father, but our Father, because we come before you as part of a community of faith. Who art in heaven, we address you as our Father, but also remembering that you rule in heaven. So we come before you with the reverence due to your name. Hallowed be thy name. We pray that you be given the unique reverence that your holiness demands. We pray that we will have a greater commitment to your nature than to our needs. We know that our meager attempts at ministry are meaningless unless the name of God is magnified. Thy kingdom come. We pray that you will expand your rule over the territory of our hearts and that more and more people will come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about extending our territories, but about you extending your rule. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for your will to be done on this earth so that this earth will no longer be dominated by destruction, disease, decay, death, doubt, and discouragement. Give us this day our daily bread. It is appropriate, after we've honored you, for us to bring our requests to you. We pray for you to provide for our needs, not our greeds. And we're not just praying for our individual needs. When we say our, we include prayers for the needs of our sisters and brothers around the world who suffer from wars and droughts and deadly diseases. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You have forgiven us an infinite debt. You paid the price. You took our place. It was no one less than God himself who hung on the cross so that we could be reconciled to you for time and eternity. Since you have forgiven us for so much, help us not to withhold forgiveness from those who have done far less against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We know we cannot stand firm without putting on the whole armor of God. Help us to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying at all times in the Spirit. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. O Lord, you made all things, and you deserve praise from all your creation, now and forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's grace and the gifts that we present to God's glory. Oh Lord, it is through these gifts that we present that we praise you this day. We put our praises into action. So Lord, take them. Use them to spread your praises in all kinds of places, but also use this act of giving to change us, to open our hearts so that we would give more and more and more of ourselves to you. We pray through Jesus, our Savior, who gave his all. Amen. Do you know Reverend Thorn? You met him? You got a thorn in your life? Many of you do. Let me encourage you today. You know, I would like to be able to say that if you've got a thorn, that pointed hook sticking in your flesh, that God's going to come and take it away today. That sounds wonderful. You hear that in places. I'm not going to say that to you because I don't believe that that is necessarily true. It may not happen for you today. But I'll tell you something even better than that. What good is it to have that hook removed and then not have God? But if you have God with you during that thorn in the flesh, God's strength and God's joy and God's power is greater than anything that you will face in your life. Believe that. And as you go from this place, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit comfort you, provide you with all the strength you need, no matter how weak you are.